Good morning. How's everyone doing? Yeah, we got two good, three bad, not so 100%. If you're an English supporter, sorry, Scotland beat you. All those nice things. It is so amazing and so lucky to be with you guys. Laura and I had the privilege of spending some time on Thursday with a couple that we know very well that left South Africa to go and be missionaries in China. And we always hear about these things, and it was just so nice to have a chat to them about what is going on in China. And just the one thing that was so noticeable and so just to hear is, so the wife went for a aerobics class, and as she gets there, she meets a Chinese lady, and she asks, what's her name? And the Chinese lady says, her name is Ruth. Esther, sorry, one of the Bible names. And luckily not John. And so she says, this is my name. And so our friend Jamie says, oh wow, that's a beautiful name. And she says, yes, I got the name from that book. And Jamie picked up immediately what she's talking about. She says, oh, that book. She goes, yeah, that book. She goes, do you like that book? She says, I love that book. Do you read that book? And in that, she says, we actually got a party on Sunday. Do you want to join the party? And that's how they got a talk to meet together. Did you have to do anything this week to hide that you're a Christian, or did you purposefully just not talk about him? That's up to you, and that's up to me. It's got nothing to do with my notes. And I was just gripped in my heart. We've got an open heaven here, friends. I know we got potholes. I know half of our robots are out. I know 90% of the time Modern Fontaine doesn't have water. I know all these things. But I tell you what, when I get here, when I walk into this place, there's a presence of God. There's a presence of the Holy Spirit. We can freely sit at a table and talk about Jesus. You and I are very privileged where we are. Let's not take it for granted. Let's not forget it, friends. And let's not stop sharing this beautiful name. There are still people out there that's never heard this good news. I just walk around this week and I just over and over and over reminded about our name, Hope City. Friends, you and I are not part of this church by accident. God has placed you here to go back and bring hope into this city, to bring hope in your workplace, to bring hope in your families, to bring hope wherever you and I go. That is what we're called to do. And it was so beautiful just linking up last weekend with Chanel and how she shared. What an amazing weekend, hey. I know when we start talking about the prophetic, 90% of us, yes, the reality go, oh, chutz. Because we are seeing the weird and the wacky of the prophetic. But I think she came and she just brought the realness of it. You know, Ephesians 4 verse 1 to 12 gives us this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gives to the church. So these are the gifts given to us. There's the fivefold gifts. It's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So these gifts are given to the church to do what? It tells us their responsibility is to equip God's people. Who's God's people? You. That's it. Okay, so there's three. The rest of you included in that. To do what? To do God's work. Chanel came and equipped us to do God's work. So we have these five gifts that comes into our church, and that we will always ask, God, who is the people that need to come? We're also not going to put somebody up here that's going to talk about stuff that you and I have never heard of. We are very wary of people out there, and we are prayerfully saying, who are the people that we allow to come and share from this pulpit? But she was one of those gifts that comes and shares. So we have the five gifts to equip you. Now, I don't know, have you ever seen those guys in the gym that gyms in a vest but in tracksuit pants? Have you seen them? You know why, hey? Because they skip leg day. And what do? You never skip leg day. So they flex those muscles. They use those are the oaks that are there for an hour and a half, but they gym for 20 minutes. The rest of the time they're in the mirror. They don't have hair, usually because they're bald mostly of it. And then they just flex those muscles. They every now and again, they lift the shirt up and they check and make sure people are looking at them. But I'm always looking and I go, "Trek hy broekie uit, papi. I want to see those calves. I want to see what's happening there." You know what? There's no balance there. So when we say we bring in the prophetic, I know, because I've heard some of you say, "Ooh, that's not for me." So what you're saying is, "I'm not doing leg day. I don't do that." So what you're saying is, "I'm going to have this massive bicep, but my tricep is this little bollocky hanging on the side here." You're not balanced. Friends, why we have these five gifts coming in? So that we can be balanced in our teaching and going out to do what God has called us to do. That's why we bring them. And I think Chanel just came and she just explained it in such a beautiful way what the prophetic is all about. And I love how she used that word Shema. It is to listen, but to do. James teaches us that in James 1:22. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of God's word. And I trust that what we were sharing, what she was sharing on Sunday, just fell on good soil for us to be a fruitful church. And if you weren't here and you're part of us, please go listen to it. It is on our website. I would love for you. And if you have, just go listen to it again. Because there's a lot of these things that we need to work through. Say, "God, what are you doing? What are you busy with?" We don't want to miss it. It is on. It's all biblical, definitely. Yeah. There's nothing weird, nothing funny about that. Friends, you and I have been placed in specific areas in this place. And God has called you to come make an impact there. To Shema, listen to Him and do what He's called you to do in your workplace. One of the scriptures that she did reference quite a lot was 1 Corinthians 12. And that is where I want to go today. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians 12. And over the next couple of weeks, we are going to go and touch on spiritual gifts. It's amazing how we want to talk about it and God is activating and starting some of these things. Like Terry explained so nicely to us what it means to have a tongue and an interpretation of that. And again, 100% what Terry says, some of you can sit here and it's uncomfortable. You know, it's like, "Ooh, what is this?" Don't worry, hang in there. Again, it's scripture. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the spiritual gifts. But I just want to do an introduction today. So 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 1. Paul is writing to this church. "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but to serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. The spiritual gifts is given to us, of us, so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whatever a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak an unknown language, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." Okay, a lot to say. That was the NLT. So a lot to say. Why do you look so confused? Do you think I'm reading out of a unbiblical Bible here? CCM. You know what scripture says about women, eh? They must be quiet. and wear a hat. Where's your hat? Yeah, elders meeting on Tuesday is going to be very interesting. I'm not going to, by the way. So Paul is sitting in Ephesus, and he gets word that things are not going so well in the church in Corinth. He picks up a letter that he gets from people there that things are going a bit rough. Things are not going well. There's fighting. People are backsliding. People are falling into sin. They are starting to argue about certain things. They're saying, I'm following this one. You're following that one. I'm following. And there's people that's starting to elevate themselves and saying, yeah, but I'm better than you. I've got this and I've got that. So Paul is listening to this. And you got to understand, Paul started this church. He was there for 18 months. This is a church that Paul loves. And he gets this, so he writes this letter back to them. Now, Corinth was quite a colorful city. It was a seaport, so it got a lot of travelers coming in to this place. It was a colorful city. It was a lot of things happening, a lot of people coming in, a lot of people going out. It was the second most What was it called? I wrote it down, yeah? Intelligent city, apart from Athens. These people were knowledgeable. They knew a lot. So they started arguing. They started going through these things. Now you can say, DJ, thank you for that history lesson. What does that mean to me and you today? I want to tell you, we live in a colorful city. We are called the Rainbow Nation. We live in a colorful city. Now also in Corinth, they worshipped, how do you pronounce it, Aphrodite, the goddess of love. That was what was happening there. That was the temple worship that took place there. She had hundreds of female slaves, and only wicked things were happening there. That was the culture of that city, and a lot of people came for that. So there was a lot of these evil things happening in that city. And I want to tell you, we are in a place that as much as people want to say that they are Christians, I'm telling you, no, they're not. How do we know that? Because you know them by their fruit. And I'm telling you now, I don't see any fruit. I see vegetables. It's not good. Something else is happening there. But you know what? We are in a place and in a time where if Corinth thought they're knowledgeable, you and I have something in our hand that makes us the most cleverest people in the world. Do you know that my wife is a registered counselor, and her practice is actually going downwards a little bit more? Why? Because I can ask AI what I'm going through. I don't even have to ask mom and dad anymore. I can just ask AI. Do you know that a 10-year-old committed suicide because AI eventually came to the conclusion that there's nothing more he can do but to commit suicide? He committed suicide. That's how knowledgeable we are getting with a program. We've got everything in our hand. They had a certain goddess that they worshipped. Friends, I want to tell you what, you and I can just open this and we can fall into any wicked ways we want to. We have it in the palm of our hand. You don't have to leave home. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to casinos to gamble. You do it right here. You don't have to go and buy any magazines to be stupid. You just open your phone. Friends, wicked is right here in our hands. And that's why I'm saying, when you and I listen and we read about Corinth and we go, oh, what? It is very applicable to what you and I are going through today. I would love for you to just go and read Corinthians. And your homework that I'm giving you is please go and read 1 Corinthians 11 to 14 in these next couple of weeks, that when we talk and when we share, we are all on the same page. We are going to look at the spiritual gifts that was what's sharing in that passage, and we're going to go through that. So Paul writes to them, and he even starts in 1 Corinthians 1:7. He says, now you have every spiritual gift you need as eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even in the beginning of his letter, he's saying to these guys, you know about these gifts. It's not, they didn't read this for the first time and go, what is this about? They knew exactly what it was about. They knew these gifts. It wasn't foreign to them. They were operating in these gifts. But then he starts verse 12 like this. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives, I don't want you to misunderstand this. In other words, there was some arguing going on. There were some questions. Paul would write this to me and you today, say, now Hope City, regarding your question about the abilities the Spirit gives you, I don't want you to misunderstand this. When something happens this morning and Terry and Lainey brings that word for us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. When we have somebody talking about prophecy, Hope City, I don't want you to misunderstand this. And that is what Paul is writing to this church. Here's a couple of things that they took out of context. So the first thing is, they started to admire the wildness and the noise. For them, it was more about the excitement, means more of the Holy Spirit. The more louder, the more passionate, the more the Holy Spirit. Now, it's very much in our culture the same. And they started saying, the more of the excitement, the more the Holy Spirit is there. So in this morning when worship is a bit quieter, oh, you know what? The Holy Spirit wasn't really here because it was quiet. It was timid. It was, my friends, it's got nothing to do with that. I tell you what, I open just social media and I listen to some guys preach. And I tell you, when they preach, it is sakdukis, it's handukis, it's everything to wipe the sweat off. And they're going and they're shouting. But every word that comes to their mouth is all about themselves and to make you feel better about yourself. I don't see anything of the Holy Spirit there. So loudness does not mean more of the Holy Spirit. They started saying and acting that some gifts needed to be experienced by everybody. So everybody must prophesy. Everybody must speak in tongues. Everybody must do this. Everybody. So they started saying all of this. And Paul says, man, I just want to tell you more about this. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk more about this. They valued the unintelligible gifts more than the intelligible gifts. So some of the gifts got more profile than the others. The atmosphere of rivalry and the spirit of superiority started creeping into the church. This is something that we need to be so aware of, that there's no one higher than anybody else. Friends, you and I are all sinners. We are all on the same page. We are walking this life together. We're doing this together. There's no, that one is up there and this one is down here. And also with these gifts, friends, when you're not sure about it, it doesn't mean it's wrong. But we're going to get to that just now. So Paul is introducing this, and then he throws this verse in there. The more I read it, like I said, I want to give you an introduction this morning to just get you to understand and start reading more about this. But in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3, Paul writes this, and he says, so I want you to know that no one speaks by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I read this verse, and I promise you, every time this week when I try to prepare, I skip this because it doesn't. It's for me, DJ. I look at this and this shouldn't be in here. This is like, I don't even know what's here. Okay, I don't understand this. It just doesn't make sense. But the more I read it, I saw something here, and this is one of my points. The Holy Spirit honors Jesus as the risen Lord. The Holy Spirit honors Jesus as the risen Lord. No one speaks by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. Now he's speaking to Christians and he says no one will say this. I would hope in church no one would curse the name of Jesus. I would hope so. But he doesn't talk to them about the situation they face himself. It's where they come out of. So he says, remember when you did your pagan worship. Pagan worship at that time, worshiping the goddess of love, despised Jesus. So they cursed the name of Jesus as part of their worship. It was loud, it was exciting, it was fun. It was all about all these things. And Paul's writing here, he says, you know what? It's not about that excitement. It's not about this hype. It's not about all of this. It's actually about the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's actually more about the Holy Spirit. Paul shows them the work of the Holy Spirit that brought them out what dishonored Jesus and now into the place that honors Jesus. So he says, remember here you dishonored the name of Jesus. You cursed the name of Jesus. And over here, through God's Spirit, you're saying Jesus is Lord. So he's showing the gospel in one sentence. This is who you were, but this is where you are. Just a reminder, you're arguing, you're going through these things, but I want to tell you, this is where you were. This is where you are now. Friends, and this is just a reminder for me and you that you and I need to live lives sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the question. How do we know it's the Holy Spirit? Because He honors Jesus. So if you feel led to do something, and sometimes it's a scary thing, ask yourself the question, that what I'm going to do, does it honor Jesus? Does it glorify Jesus? Does it bring the lordship of Jesus? If not, it's possibly not Him. Because He would not do anything that dishonors the name of Jesus. How am I being led? Ask that question. Will it bring honor to Jesus? Galatians 5, verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. NIV says, let's walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Second point that I have. The Holy Spirit produces both variety and unity. Now, this is the exciting part. So, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 6. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but to serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of them. How beautiful is that Paul brings the Trinity in there? If you read this, and I don't know if it's underlined in the next one. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. God works in different ways, but the same God. So Paul, even in there, theologically, this guy is magnificent. In the way that he writes, in the way that he brings things, he brings the Trinity in this whole picture. So basically what he's saying is, it's not just the Holy Spirit giving this, Jesus giving that, God giving that. He says that they give you the gifts to every single one of us. Together they give gifts, ministries, and working. Can I just state the obvious here? Who gives the gifts? God, Holy Spirit, Jesus gives the gifts. Gifts is not given by the elders. Gifts are not given by your life group leaders. Gifts are not given by your best preacher on YouTube. Gifts are not given by anybody else. It says He gives the gifts to every single one of us. So that when a person comes here and they've got that main mate, I'm the new high apostle of this church and church, I'm like, who gave you that? No, but the church recognized me as that. Friends, that's dangerous to walk in places like that. And if people have to tell me who they are, you know, their rank before they who they are, I'm already very wary. There are still some of you that calls me pastor. I'm DJ. I'm just DJ. Just call me DJ. It's okay. I know who I am and I know what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes when people refer that, I'm like, is that just to remind me that I'm a shepherd them? Or is what the deal? And I know your heart. But you know what? It's not about the titles. It's not about that. God gives these gifts. Look at this passage again. Again, I'm highlighting a different word here. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways. Paul uses that word three times, different. I want to tell you, do yourself a favor, and not like immediately, but just like squeeze through the guy next to you. Just have a look at him and the guy in front of you. They don't look like you. Thank goodness. I mean, not everybody is as handsome as me. That's just not fair to this world. Not everybody. I mean, God loves variety. He loves it. There's no snowflake that's the same. No sand grain that's the same. No leaf that's the same. No tree that's the same. No fingerprint that's the same. Why? Because God made us all different. He loves variety. Things of different gifts. Samson's gift was a physical strength. Hosea was called to marry a wicked girl. Now, don't let that scripture give you license to say, I'm going to marry this wicked girl because God said so. I don't think that's going to happen again. You are unique. You are created the way that you are created. And we even prayed that this morning and for us as a church. But friends, don't compare yourself with other people. And that is the biggest thing that we do. It's like, but my gift is this, my gift is that. And that's what happened in that church. They started comparing and people elevated themselves to say, but mine is better than yours. Friends, there's no scale of this gift is a 10 and this gift is a 2. God just says, I lavish my gifts on you. Do what I'm telling you to do. At the end of the day, if the 10 or the 5 or the how many talents, the measure was not like, okay, that was it. God says, well done, good and faithful servant, with what you got and what you've done with them. It's what you and I have been given to go and do. And that's why we sometimes look at gifts and I'm like, but I want that. I'm this. Friends, just sit back and say, God, what is it that you've given me? You are unique. Can I say that? There are going to be weird gifts. Let's be real. They're all weird gifts. Has anybody ever given you something physical that you go, I don't know if I'm a smile or laugh. I don't know about this. But, you know, politely, you just go, bye, 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 donkey. And you look at your wife and go, I don't know, what are we going to do with this? Do you know that, honestly, there's sometimes gifts that I go, yes, that's so awkward. You sit there and you want to cringe and you want to, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's wrong. And friends, you and I got to get to that place that we celebrate the variety that God gives. That's why I'm saying, when you walk out here and have that bacon and egg roll, just squish to the guy next to you and go, he's very different than me. It's good. It's amazing. It is funny that the longer people are married, they start looking like each other. That is also very true. And people start looking like their dogs, eh? Have you seen that? Or the dogs like them. Yes, that is so weird. When they go for a walk, you're like, that's definitely a family. You can see that. I almost said something now. My dog is thin and small and skinny. I'm not there. Friends, please understand this morning. Out of this scripture, every one of us are different. But the same Spirit has given you a gift. Man, I look out at people here and I'm starting to spend time with people and I just see the gifts in you. You're very different. It's okay. Let's celebrate variety. Let's celebrate that. We don't have to walk in here and we all just got to be a blue. We all got to be a green. We all got to be, you and I, friends, this place needs to be a smarty box. We need to be all the colors. And we need to celebrate all those colors. When a gift comes, I can tell you this as well. There will be gifts that's not from God. We will not allow those gifts. We trust God with our leadership that we can discern that that gift is not from God. That the weird and wacky will not get any microphone time. Because we're also not going to come and bring wolves into the sheep pen. That is very, very true. But friends, when there's something that you like, yes, I don't know about this, but there's fruit in it, God's love is in it, it's okay. It's okay. It's really fine. You know, when you have that little cousin that wants to play the doodle suck, what is that called? Bagpipes. I don't know if anybody had somebody. I remember we stayed in Primrose and somebody up the road had played that thing. I'm thinking to myself, wish mom and dad bought his kid a bagpipe. Like honestly, man, you want to walk out there and say, my kid plays the drums, he plays the electric guitar. My kid plays the bagpipes. Oh, really? The bagpipes. Friends, we're going to have bagpipe players with us. It's okay. It's all right. You all are very, very different. But with that, next point, there needs to be unity in the church. We need to have unity. Corinthians 12 verse 4 again says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. And finish off with the same God. We need to protect variety and unity. We are called to protect variety and unity. Psalm 133 verse 1, we know this. How good and pleasant it is when people, God's people, live together in unity. How good and pleasant is it when there is unity. Friends, and that's the thing. Unity does not mean we're all blue. It doesn't mean we're all red. It means this. Together as Hope City, we've got a mandate and we're going to do that together. We love God, we love His people, and we need to make Him known wherever we go. That's what we're called to do. That's who we are. We're going to make disciples. We're going to see people saved. We're going to go and do that. That's what we're called to do. How are we going to do it? With our different flavors of going out. The raspberries, the blueberries, the strawberries, the watermelons, all of them going to do one thing, but together we are doing it together. And then this is the last point, building together. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to, what does it say there? Who is that? Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Paul writes this, he says, these gifts are given to every single one of us. And then it goes further, he says, so that we can help each other. So though that gift is given to you, not to take home and to make feel you good about yourself. That gift is to help the person next to you. That gift is when that new person walks in here. That gift is in your life group. That gift is at youth on a Friday night. That gift is when you stand up here and you minister. That gift is when you make the best bacon and egg roll ever. That is when that cappuccino comes out and that person, life just lights up because life is coming back in. That is how we serve, how we love each other. Friends, and that changes the dynamics of coming to church. Because it's not like she said, that's my seat, you better not sit on my seat. Because, you know, I'm sure you paid for that seat, so it must be your seat. And that's my seat. It's for me and you to know this is the gift I have. How can I serve? How can I be part of? How can I do? We need to get to that place where we just say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me in what it is that you have got for me. A question is then, what is my gift? A question that you and I should ask is, what is the Holy Spirit showing and revealing? What is He showing and revealing? DJ, you see, I've asked Him once, and He didn't say, so I stopped. How many of you have asked God once, what must I do, and He didn't tell you, so you just stopped asking? You got it persistently. It says the fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's ongoing. That's keep knocking. That's keep asking. And can I quickly just say something very now? Please love me afterwards. God does not reveal Himself to the casual seeker. Please hear me this morning. You've heard me say this. You've asked Him once and He didn't say to you, how many times are you going to knock on that door? How many times are you going to seek His face? How many times are you going to enter into His presence? How many times are you going to open the scripture? How many times are you going to fall flat on your face? How many times are you going to cry out for Him? How many times are you going to go to life group? How many times are you going to be part of church? How many times are you going to go and do what God has called you to do? Or is it a once off? God does not reveal Himself to the casual seeker, my friend. It is when you and I knock. It's when you and I are persistent. It's when you, have you watched Shrek? Where they go to pick and donkey goes, pick me, pick me, pick me. And you cannot otherwise but pick him because he's just jumping up and down. Friends, you and I got to be like that in our spiritual walk with God. It's like, I'm here, Lord. Send me. Do whatever. I'm here, Lord. What is it you want me to do? Do you want me to clean the floors? Do you want me to do that? Do you want me to serve coffee? Do you want me to go out, Lord? I don't care. I'm here. Pick me, pick me. That should be our heart's attitude. I don't care if you're 71 or if you're 1 or if you're 4. Have that hard attitude of saying, Lord, pick me. Pick me. Be donkey in check. Lord, pick me. Whatever it is, pick me. Let's have that attitude. Friends, I want to tell you, God's going to lavish His gifts on you to do what He's called you to do. And that gift is for every single one of us. And that gift is for us to build and do what God has called us to do. Chanel shared about a fruitfulness in this church. And you know what? We all got a part to play. Every single one of you have got a part to play. It's amazing. We can hear that word and we can look at the front row and go, yeah, you're looking lucky there. What did the gift come and do? To equip the saints to do the work. It's for every single one of us, my friend. There's new life group leaders sitting here. Stand up. There's new people that needs to come help at youth. There's new people that needs to be part of young adults. There's new people that needs to come and sing on the 22nd. There's people that needs to go and help at the sound desk. There's people here that all of us are going to take Hope City and we're going to make this family bigger because it's not about us. It's about a place out there that needs Jesus desperately. Desperately. That's why we've got these gifts, friends. Not to sit on them, but to serve the people that comes in. Please stand with me. We can see when Paul starts this letter, he loves this church. He absolutely loves this church. But in chapter 12, he says to them, you are missing the point here. I just want to bring you back. I just want to make you focus on something here. Hope City, I hope that you and I can stand here today and we are not missing the point. First of all, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. He gives the gifts. He decides who gets. He lavishes it on me and you. It's all about Him. It's His gifts that He gives to me and you. And that gift is not for you. It's for Him to use the way that He wants it to use. And I'm not asking you come and put your hand up out of obligation. I'm saying trust the Holy Spirit to tell you what is it that is stirring in your heart. And we're going to start just working through the gifts of the Spirit the next couple of Sundays. Just giving you handles on what is this all about. And maybe something in there will resonate with you. You go, I like that. Maybe I'm somebody that can operate in the gift of miracles. Maybe I can pray for people. Maybe I can prophesy. And we're just going to stir that in your heart and do that with you. But friends, it starts with our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is our basis. It's not like, Lord, I'm coming to you because I want that gift. It's not, Lord, I love you. You're my everything, and whatever you give me, I'm going to do it. Wherever you place me, I'm going to use it. Whatever it is, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I am madly in love with you. It is all about you. Do in and through me whatever you want to do. When Jesus got into that Garden of Gethsemane, that was pressure. It was the knowing of what was happening. But His prayer at the end was, not my will, your will. Friends, can our heart always be, Lord, not what I want to do, but what is it that you want to do? Is this the gift you're giving me? Perfect, I'm going to use it. Is this where you want me to go? Perfect, I'm going to do it. Why? Because it's all about you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in a beautiful morning like this. And as Paul says, I don't want to misunderstand this. Lord, we don't want to read further. We don't want to look at these gifts and we don't want to elevate some and pull some down. Actually, we just want to fix our gaze back on you. We just want to look into your beautiful face. We want to be in your presence. We want to sit at your feet. And Lord, Hope City's heart's desire is, whatever it is, wherever it is, we will do what you've called us to do. We pray that we will just accept the variety, but also cherish the unity. That we'll do this together, knowing that this family is on mission together. Thank you that you've called us. Thank you that you're busy with us. Thank you that you're stirring something in us. And as we go here and we start reading more about these gifts, Lord, thank you that you open our eyes, open our hearts, open our understanding that we know it's given, but it's for your people. I thank you for everybody here. Even as we walked in here, Lord, you know our heart's desires. You know what people are going through. And as I just pray over us right now, Holy Spirit, thank you that you move in and through us. Come and have your way with us. Even this week, that we will be a people that hear what you say and we do what you tell us to do. We love you. We surrender to you. Have your way in and through us. And everybody say, amen. Amen.